We have the privilege this morning for the next 10 to 15 minutes, somewhere in that time, where PJ is going to minister the word this morning, or part of the word this morning. And PJ, where are you? Oh, right there, sorry. Right there. And so PJ and Kezia, of course, lead the youth ministry and doing a wonderful job. We're so blessed that they've stepped into this place. And we're just blessed to see you growing and ministering. And today we just want to celebrate what God's doing in your life. And we open our heart to you, PJ, and receive the word that's going to come out of your mouth and out of your heart.
Pastor Wiz and Pastor Janet, if I barely can see a little tour in the So what you heard there was what we're going to be speaking in heaven. So we'll start learning someone today, amen? I just really want to honor Pastor Wiz and Pastor Janet for what they've done here and just the opportunity you've given me. And I'm so blessed to be up here speaking in front of you all, and I'm so excited. I've been excited for about how long? A month now? Since Wiz told me that I'll be speaking this morning. So, you know, for those who don't know me, my name is PJ. My wife, Kiz, she was singing on my right. Yep, you're amazing, Kiz. And we lead the youth here alongside with the amazing team. Can we get our youth leaders and volunteers to stand up just so we can all see who you guys are? These are the backbone of the youth. You guys are amazing. And just a quick plug, Friday night, 7 p.m., we meet here at church and we do some amazing stuff. And this term we are watching a series called Youth Alpha, and that is amazing. Next term, we're going to have a series called 99 Plus 1, Stories of Hope, of everyone who Jesus encountered. But not only that, testimonies. We're going to be sharing testimonies and stories every week next term. And in the last term, we'll be sharing about relationships. So it's going to be awesome. But today, I want to share a story that some of you will definitely be familiar with growing up in Sunday school. Come on, who went to Sunday school when they were young? Who's heard of the story of Zacchaeus? Yeah, it's such a good story. And so I want to share about that today. But before I start, I want to share a quote by a psychologist named Shane J. Lopez. He says, "The tiny ripple of hope you set in motion can change the path of someone's life. The tiny ripple of hope you set in motion can change the path of someone's life." And this is certainly true. I believe that is a true statement. And it's certainly true in the life of Jesus. Everyone he encountered had a new sense of hope. And the reality is that the world we live in today is we're all looking for hope. And so Zacchaeus, if you don't know the story, Zacchaeus is a short man, very short man. And one day Jesus and his disciples were walking through Jericho, and a guy named Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, right? So he had no friends. But not only that, he was a chief tax collector. So he looked over all the other tax collectors. And the thing, he heard that a man named Jesus was coming through town, and, you know, so he wanted to go meet him, right? Well, just to catch a glimpse. So he climbed up a fig tree just to see if he could get a glimpse of a man they called the Messiah, the man they called the Son of God. But the thing about the story is he was willing to put himself in a position that a few people are willing to do. But in doing so, grace, hope, everything the world is looking for came flooding into Zacchaeus' life. I'll say it again. He was willing to put himself in a position to see Jesus. But the interesting thing is that Zacchaeus, you know, he was a tax collector, but not only that, he was a Jew. So he would collect money off his own Jewish brothers to give to the Roman government to keep his people in subjection to, you know, under the Roman Empire. So the man had no friends, but he was a friend to Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles or your iPhones, I want you to turn to Luke 19, verse 1. If you got a Samsung, you can just keep it in your pocket. This is a holy place, amen. I'm kidding. If we could get Luke 19 verse 1 up, that'll be awesome. And we'll read through. I got 3 points I want to take you through that I got out of this story and that I'm wanting to share to you guys this morning. So before we start, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. And I just invite you, Lord, just to come and move freely in this place and that you move through me as I share to your people, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Luke 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. Is that how you say it? I think so. So point number one is don't stop seeking God. Just like Zacchaeus didn't let his height stop him, didn't let the fact that no one liked him stop him. So point number one, don't stop seeking God. Let's carry on. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Point number two that I want to give is humble yourself, right? Zacchaeus had to leave behind his pride to climb that sycamore tree. Because in that time, climbing trees was only for kids. You would never see a grown man climb up a tree. It was like people would just laugh at him, you know, because he climbed up the tree. But that didn't let him stop him. He left all that. He ignored what people would think. He ignored what people would say. And he just went because he wanted to see Jesus. Someone needs to hear this. In order for you to get close to Jesus, you need to ignore what people say or think about you. That is for someone. And like I said, he was willing to put himself in a position, right? And the thing on Zacchaeus' mind, this might help someone, is that all he had in his mind was Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he was so focused on that. And so that's why he just left behind everything and went up, climbing up that tree. He wasn't thinking about what other people were thinking. And actually, I want to give you guys something that I heard from Craig Rochelle, right? So Zacchaeus had Jesus in his mind. Here's what I got from Craig Rochelle, is when you think a thought, your brain would create new neuropathways to think the same thought. So what is dominant in your thoughts? Is it Jesus? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? If you think, if you're struggling, and then you're like, okay, Jesus, come. He's going to be dominant in your thoughts the more you think about him. So it could be a bad thing. You know, it's the fact that you, when you think a thought, your brain would automatically try and make you think the same thought. But let's use it in a good way and just think of Jesus. Amen? Zacchaeus, like I said, you know, climbing up a tree was only for little kids. But what's amazing about Zacchaeus, that in Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So become like little children. You got children running around in their, you know, with their undies on their head, their nappies on their head. They don't care because they're kids. And if you tell a kid something, they'll just believe it. So become like kids, like Zacchaeus. You don't have to climb up a tree. You know, one of the biggest thing I had to overcome was lifting my hands in worship. Because I would keep thinking about, oh, people are going to think, I'm just thinking about what, you know, the judgment that people give me if I raise my hands. It took me so long just to even put my hand up slightly. But I had to just continue thinking about Jesus and what he did on the cross for me. And that's what made my hands go up. It's when I realized what he done for me on the cross. no one else can save me. Only God can save me. And so my hands will go up anytime. Amen. That is for someone. If you are afraid of lifting your hands because of judgment, think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Let's carry on. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest at a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save which was lost. Point number three is let God into your life, not just your heart. Because you can know all about Jesus but live a completely different life. But the awesome thing is that if you see the order, Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to do all that before he came into his house. Jesus came into Zacchaeus' home, and that's what changed the inside of Zacchaeus. Jesus has this thing where he looks past and beyond what we tend to focus on, what we tend to judge a person by. He looks beyond the sin, and he sees this heart that needs hope. Zacchaeus, there was a change in his heart because he had recognized what had been given to him. That he was being recognized not as a sinner, but as one that is saved, as one that has been redeemed, as one that is accounted as a son of Abraham, as one that is accounted as a son. His identity shifted from being a chief tax collector, from being someone who was wealthy. His mindset was shifted by the word of Jesus and came into a new identity of sonship. And this is how it works, this is how it works in our lives, that when Jesus comes into our lives, our hearts change, and then our behavior changes. But for so long, we get it wrong. We tend to change our behavior and then accept Jesus. But that's not Jesus. Yeah, exactly. It's hard work. But Jesus, we can't try and be good enough for Jesus. He is the good one. Because if you bring him into your heart, right, he will make the change in us, which then becomes the change through us. He will make the change in us, which will then become the change through us. He only sees the heart that needs hope. He doesn't care what you've been through. He doesn't care what you're going through. He sees your heart. And he is knocking on the door in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He is knocking on someone's heart right now. He doesn't want you to change. He doesn't want you to change in order for him to come into your life. He doesn't want you to give up. Depression and anxiety, Jesus wants to come into your life and change that. Addiction, he wants to come into your life and change that. Don't try and change it before accepting him. It's hard work. Let him into your life, because he will make the change in you before it changes through you. He isn't waiting for you to stop what you do at night. He isn't waiting for you to overcome the anxiety before letting him in. He isn't waiting for you to overcome the depression before letting him in. He wants to come into your life to help you with that situation. And I don't want to end today without giving you an opportunity to be able to give your life to him. Accept him into your life, because he is knocking at the door of your heart. He is knocking at the door of your heart. Can we close our eyes, please? As we wrap up, I want to give you an opportunity, whether you are here or whether you are online. God is knocking at the door of your heart, and he is waiting for you to let him in. And if you've been far from God, he is wanting to come back in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand in 3 seconds. Don't let depression, anxiety stop you. Don't let addiction stop you. 3, 2, 1. Thank you, Jesus. Zacchaeus said a no, and a couple of days later, Jesus ended up dying on a cross for him. He didn't know that Jesus went through all this pain for you, because he loves us so much. So if your hand was up, I want you to come up to the front. If you're brave, because Jesus hung on a cross for you, naked, with cuts and bruises all over his body for you. People spat on him for you. And so if you are willing to do so, please come up to the front. Yep. Actually, can I get everyone to stand? And if you raised your hand, I want you to put it up high. And I want us to come forward.
Stand with me. Another microphone. Got another microphone? God bless you. What's your name? Sabrina. Sabrina, that's right. And what's your name? Jess, God bless you, Jess. God bless you. God bless you. PJ, we don't know whether these young ladies are rededicating their lives to the Lord or whether this is the very first time they're opening their hearts to the Lord. So we're going to cover all bases.
Yep.
Okay? And thank you so much for just being here today,
yep.
Jess, for being here today and opening your heart to the Lord. Have you ever known them in the past, or you... rededicating, you just want to rededicate yourself to him. You want to rededicate yourself to him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful? Thank you so much. There's time for anybody else. Anybody else you want to come this morning? You want to come up? Maybe you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe it's the very first time you've opened your heart to the Lord. Maybe it's the very first time. And you think, man, this is risky. I don't know what I'm letting yourself in for. I didn't either. It's better than I thought.
Yeah.
It is better than I thought. Thank you so much. Here's another beautiful lady here. Just go over and greet her and ask her what her name is. Yeah. Anybody else? You want to come on up? Just ask the person next to you. I'll come up with you if you want to go. Just maybe there's somebody next to you that don't know, or maybe they've come with you. Maybe they just need a little bit of an encouragement. If that's you, if you want to come up, I'll go with you. Just ask them that. Ask them that. It can make the difference between holding back and opening up. Because one thing I've found about the Lord is once you start to open your heart to him, my goodness, things can happen really quick. And it's way better than we ever imagined. So PJ, I'm going to get you to follow me in leading the people in prayer. I'm just gonna, you're going to do it. I'm just going to whisper in your ear.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
Your water? No. Just come over here. I'm going to whisper in your ear. You're going to speak it.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to just tell everybody we're all going to pray together.
We're all going to pray together. Yep. So let's close our eyes.
And anybody online?
Yeah, if there's anybody online,
you join with us.
Join with us.
And Jesus,
is going to do something wonderful
in your life today.
In your life today. Amen.
Tell the people that have come up that if they mean this in their hearts,
yeah. So
God's going to do something special.
For you guys who have responded, if you mean this in your heart, this prayer, God is going to do something special in your heart, in your life.
So let's pray together. Father,
in Jesus' name,
we stand before you today.
And we thank you
for your great love for us.
Your great love for me. I ask you to forgive me
of
all of my sin,
all of my rebellion,
all of my backsliding. I open my heart to you now, today. And I ask you to come in, to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe
that Jesus
is your Son, that he died on a cross for me,
and he rose again
on the third day.
Lord,
thank you
for forgiving
me.
Thank you
for making
me your child.
In Jesus' name,
fill me
with your spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God
bless you.
God bless you.
Now, these beautiful people will just take you and just pray for you a little bit more and maybe just talk with you. And if you're happy to give them your contact details so we can stay in touch with you and just try and be helpful to you, yeah, that would be wonderful. But if we just follow out to the, what's that, left? Your right? There's just a room there. There's just a little chat with you. That'll be fantastic. Thank you so much. Well, give PJ a God bless this morning. You did well, my friend.
God bless you.
Thank you, PJ. God bless you, man. Excellent. And in 2 weeks' time, Oscar's going to be preaching 10 to 15 minutes. And it's going to be awesome. And I just love what's cooking in these guys' hearts. I really do. And I just love the way they are hungry to grow in the Lord and to step out. And I'm just, I'm so excited about that. We're going to come around the table of the Lord. Can somebody get the table with the thing with the bread and the wine on and just bring it out in front here this morning? Is that right? Just so it's a central focus. I just want to take a little bit of time just to share some things around the table of the Lord. How many people here know or have read or have memorized Isaiah chapter 53? You know, you've read it, you have some understanding of Isaiah chapter 53. Could I please encourage you, many things we study in the Word of God, but Isaiah 53 is a crucial chapter to study, and if you can, memorize, if you want to memorize Scripture, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 gives us the inventory of the work of the cross. It gives us the manifest of what's contained in the crucifixion and the resurrection. A ship's manifest is a declaration of what the ship is carrying. It's a manifest. It's a description, or it's a list of what the ship is carrying. And Isaiah 53 is redemption. This the redemption shifts manifest. Ships manifest. If I can use that kind of picture language. If you study Isaiah 53, you will see what Jesus has done for you. And this was prophesied 700 years before Jesus came, before crucifixion was ever invented. But God knows the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. So he inspired Isaiah. Isaiah somehow saw in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inspired him, and he wrote this. It's just so incredible. But there's only a couple of verses I want to pull out of it today. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. And I'm reading in the Amplified Version. Verse 4 to 5 of Isaiah 53. Surely he, that is Jesus, has borne our griefs. And the fuller understanding of that passage is he has borne our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses, and carried our sorrows, it's our pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. In other words, people thought he was being smitten and crucified for his own wrongdoing, for his own blasphemy, for his own sin. We ignorantly thought that. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. And this prophecy in Isaiah is speaking in the present tense. It's amazing that when Jesus did all this on the cross, when he went to the cross, he was whipped, he was bruised, he was crucified, crown of thorns, he was shamed, everything that he went through totally fulfills the actual happenings prophesied in Isaiah. But not only that, the spiritual repercussions, the spiritual unleashings, the spiritual activations of the blessings of God were established once and established for all time. If you read commentaries on Isaiah 53, you will often find commentaries that are written by people who do not believe in healing for today. You will sometimes find comments on the internet, different websites that are written by people who do not believe that healing is for today. So they tend to always speak of this, Isaiah 53 and 54, as though it's limited to the forgiveness of sins and the healing of our spiritual relationship with God. And they limit it to that. And a number of people here today may be carrying the remnants of that teaching. You may be carrying the idea that somehow, when we say by his stripes we were healed, you may have ringing in the back of your mind teachers or things you've read that limited it to a spiritual restoration to the Father, therefore a healing or a healing of your spirit in terms of relationship with God and your sins being forgiven. And that is incredibly important but limited. I want to take you into Matthew, and I'm keeping this short, so I'm not able to elaborate on this greatly, but I want to speak into a stronghold. I want to hit a stronghold. I want to smack it up, because the stronghold is actually taking away or attempting to withhold people from entering into the grace that Jesus released for us through his crucifixion and resurrection. And it actually puts a limitation on God's holy ones being able to enter in to the joy of what Jesus was crucified for. And so it actually takes away from his glory, it takes away from his joy that was set before him. It takes away from him in that sense because people are held out from what he actually died for. And I want to at least take a few bricks out of that wall. I want to at least give that wall a bit of a kick or to try and do something to cause that wall to be weakened, if not dismantled completely. So here's what I want to dismantle. I want to dismantle the idea that when it says by his stripes we were healed, that his that and the infirmity is being laid on him, that it's somehow to do with things that of forgiveness of sins and our restoration to God in terms of our reconciliation, and it's got and it's got nothing to do with physical healing. I want to dismantle that idea. Because some of us were taught that, some of us have done research on the internet, we've come to believe that, and we've actually limited the power of what Jesus did on the cross. And I'm going to use a little bit of a theological word. It limits the understanding of the atonement. I want to go into Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, Amplified Bible. Verse 14. Did I say 16? Let's make it 16 then. Verse 16. This is just after Jesus has healed or said to the centurion, go your way, your servant is healed. It's a beautiful miracle, a beautiful story, beautiful account. But verse 16, he says, when evening came, they, that's the people around in that area, brought him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. Everybody say all. All who were what? All who were sick. He drove out demons by what? A word. And he healed all who were? He held how many? All. Verse 17, and thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took, or in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities, and he bore away our diseases. That's the translation they were quoting. Now here's the deal. Here's a prophecy about the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the long-awaited redeemer of all creation. And there's a prophecy of what he would do and what he would do through the cross and through the resurrection. If it was a spiritual healing, if it was a forgiveness of sins and reconciliation to the Father limitation, we would not have this verse quoted in relation to Jesus healing all the people. And yet people quote this as though that's what it's limited to. And the reason they quote it is because they do not believe that God heals today. I want to tell you, my friends, God heals today as much as any day that he's ever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the very ministry that he walked in, the very power of the Spirit that he walked in, is on the believing body of Christ. Because the body of Christ in the earth is the body of Jesus, and is our head is in heaven, and the body takes commandments from the head. The reason there hasn't been so much healing in a number of places is because the body has had disconnection to the head. But that is being turned around amongst the believing church. And I say the believing church to bring a distinction between that is which is going backwards into apostate situation and that which is rising in faith, rising in glory and going from faith to faith and glory to glory. There's a distinction, and the distinction will become very plain in the next decade. It's pretty plain now. But it's going to become more plain. But the anointing, the very presence of God, the very anointing that was on Jesus is now on the believing saints to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, set at liberty those who are bruised. But Jesus fulfilled this word in Isaiah, which is the inventory of the atonement. He fulfilled this in Matthew, and he fulfilled it with the literal driving out of demons and the literal healing of the sick and people who were diseased. And it wasn't just some. It was everybody that was brought to him that was sick that was healed. So I want to kick this idea that the atonement is limited to spiritual healing. I want to kick that to pieces. It's a lie from hell. And we need to dismantle it because there's a flood of healing about to be released in this nation. There's a flood of miracles about to be released in this nation. And it's based in biblical reality. It's based in the atonement. It's based on what Jesus died for us. And out of all people, we want to be a people who are passionate about Jesus getting the reward he suffered for. And the church of God rising in what is rightfully ours to minister, to bring glory and witness to his name. So let's read it again. Verse 16. When evening came, they brought him, that's Jesus, many who were under the power of demons. And he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled, and when it says fulfilled, it doesn't mean fulfilled in the sense that this is now ended. Oh, we've done that now. We can close the book. We can close the chapter. We're moving on to what's next. Fulfilled doesn't mean that. Some translators say it's more like activated. The time is now that it's fulfilled and activated. Because if it was only for then none of the disciples, none of the apostles would have walked in healing. None of the people who were raised from the dead would have been raised. None of the people who were healed on the island that Paul got shipwrecked on would have been healed. But it says that all of them were healed. The reason all of them were healed is because Isaiah 53 was activated. And it's still activated. Devils and demons and unbelievers have tried to deactivate it, but they're doing it in vain because the Holy Ghost is working with us to activate it with us because we're getting revelation of it. And when you get revelation, you've got power. When you've got revelation, you've got understanding. When you've got revelation, you've got power. When you've got revelation, you've got access to the throne to lay claim of that because it's rightfully ours. And Jesus loves it when we claim what he died for. God is not trying to withhold it and say, no, you're getting too much. You're getting too much. No. I've only got so much to go around. I was called to tear down things. It's what God's called me to do. When I said to the Lord, when I was asked to take up the leadership of the church, 92, 91 it was then, because it took several months for the process to work through, I said, Lord, which book do you want to read me for me to read so you can speak to me to know whether this is your call or just man's call? Because I knew if it was God's call, there'd be grace. But if it was man's call, just a good idea, just somebody to plug the gap, then I knew there wasn't going to be the grace. So, Lord, what book do you want to speak? Immediately, Jeremiah. When I came to that place, we spoke to Jeremiah. He said, I've called you to tear down, pull down, and to build up. Immediately, that hit me. And so I'm here to pull down and to build up. I'm here to pull down that stinking lie that's limited it to less than what Jesus intended. I'm here to build up in our understanding that the healing power of God, the healing work that is legally provided for us, dealt with in the Spirit, is ours to move in and ours to receive. And to keep reminding us of that fact, he told us do this. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare my death until he come, till I come. Why do we declare his death? Because it reminds us of the inventory of Isaiah 53. It reminds us of what is fulfilled and activated. So it's our right, it's our duty, it's our joy, it's our adventure to adventure into the revelation that heaven has for us regarding what is in that inventory on Isaiah 53 and more. It is yours to explore. It is yours to lay claim of for yourself, your family, and for friends, and for anybody you come in contact with that is open to the Lord. It's ours. The disciples walked in it. The early church walked in it. Through history, when there's been outpourings and revivals, there's often been manifestation of healing. That wasn't just because there was an outpouring of the Spirit, but God was actually revealing to the church what he's like. But at the various stages of restoration, they could take a hold of this much, but not always necessarily take a hold of that because they may not have had the place to understand this yet. They thought maybe it was just an act of a sovereignty. But really what he was doing, he was revealing of his nature, and he was revealing what's in the gospel. In the last 150, 170 years, the church is coming into a growing understanding of what it is for healing as part of the work of the cross and what Jesus made available for us. And it has accelerated at various times. It's been fought for. It's been contended with. It's been opposed. There's all sorts of websites for the heresy hunters and all sorts of people on YouTube criticizing this ministry, that ministry, some other ministry, anybody who pops their head up out of the woodwork and moving in signs and wonders and healings for today, you can guarantee there's going to be a heresy hunter after you trying to find some fault with a word you said somewhere. Even if the word was a recording that's 15 years old and it's totally out of context, they try and use that to shut you down. Why? Because they're motivated by a spirit that is contrary to the kingdom of God, that is religious, that is Jezebelic, and it's a contrary to the kingdom of God, so they try to pull down the work of God, but they do it in the name of somehow wanting to honor the Bible or wanting to honor Jesus. But I want to tell you, my friends, they're dishonoring Jesus, they're dishonoring the scriptures, because Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're in error, not knowing the power of God and the scriptures. I don't need you to clap. It doesn't matter if you do, but I don't need you to. You hear what I'm saying? Don't feel bad about that. You clapped a wee bit. Break that condemnation off you. Jude, in his one-page book, letter, said, contend for the faith. 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 So I'm contending for the faith. Faith that when it germinates in our hearts because we've heard the word, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, germinates something within us that reaches in and reaches into the heart of God for something that previously we never had the confidence to approach the throne about. So when we come to the table of the Lord today, we're coming to a table that speaks of the Lord's death until he comes. What the church began in, the believing church in these latter days, is going to flow in more greatly. So we're not stopping at the now. We're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on. The fulfillment of that word in Isaiah, as recorded in Matthew chapter 8, is for us to walk in today, for us to enter into today. Don't look at what doesn't happen for somebody. Read the testimonies of what God's done, and where there's been, when there's been, where there's been testimonies of healings, deliverances. Read those testimonies. Listen to those testimonies, because it'll give you the confidence to press in for yourself and to lay hold yourself. Don't listen to the doubt, the unbelief, the disappointments. Don't listen to that stuff. I know sometimes we have to deal with it, and we have to deal with our own one. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and the word of the testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So when we come around the table today, and we're going to distribute the cup and the bread today, I'm just believing God. There's revelation striking in somebody's heart. You're going to walk out with more revelation today than you came in with, or something is going to be sparked again that was sparked years ago, but then for some reason dulled down, and it's been like old manna. Well, there's fresh manna today. Jesus healed all who were brought to him. And it said, by this was fulfilled the scripture. By this we see the activation and the coming to pass and the coming to manifestation of what Isaiah prophesied. And when the 12 were sent out and the 70 were sent out, they were told to heal the sick, cast out demons, so on and so forth. And they came back, and one report from the 70 was, they were amazed at how the demons were subject to them in their name, in his name. And then the disciples walked in it. Philip, the deacon, walked in it when he went into Samaria. And the early church was known for its healing, its deliverance, and its miracles amongst persecutions. The church of the latter days, however long those latter days are, will be known. The genuine believing church, the genuine believing church will be known by its love for one another, by the miracles, by the healings, by the signs and wonders, by the ministry of Jesus in our midst, because we're connected to the head, not connected to religion, unbelief, skepticism, Western thinking limitations. But we're more and more connected to the head. And so people are going to come to you to be healed. People are going to come to you to be healed. I'm going to say it again. People are going to come to you to be healed. Darkness is going to get so dark. Light is going to get so bright. Revelation is growing in your hearts and in your spirits. You're learning and you're knowing more and more what spiritual blessing you've been blessed with. And we are the body of Christ. You are a member of Christ himself. Jesus is in heaven, seated on the throne. He is the head. We are his body. We are members of Christ on earth. The same anointing that is on Jesus is on the family of God, on the believers. The day is coming when people are going to hunt you out to be healed. Somebody here is going to take that. Somebody here is going to connect with that, and it's going to go yes inside of you. People are going to come to you to be healed. People are going to come to you to be healed. People are going to come to you to be healed. People are going to come to you to be healed. They're not going to come to you just to have a nice prayer. They're going to come to you to be healed. They're going to come to you to be healed, just like they went to Jesus to be healed. Because in your word, in your world, word is going to get out through your relative, your friend, somebody, that there's something about you. And they're going to come to you to be healed. Stand up if you would. They're going to come. I'm just going to keep saying this. They're going to come to you to be healed. They're going to come to you to be healed. They're going to come to you to be healed. Don't think it's going to be a famous few on the stage. There's going to be a famous few in the world. because there's got to be people who go before us to break through something into something fresh. But Jesus' desire is that his whole family, his whole believing family, would move in the Spirit of God. He said, anybody who believes in me, anybody believes in me, as the scripture has said, these things shall he do and greater things shall he do. People are going to come to you to be healed. People are going to come to you to be delivered. People are going to come to you to be set free. People are going to come to you for truth. People are going to come to you for an anchor. People are going to come to you for peace. And me. I'll tag myself on the end. Could I have Oscar Kalila, PJ Kizia, come and take some of these? Could I have some of the elders come and take some of these as well? And we'll just mix it up. And just take this table, this cup around. I'm just stirring today, I guess. I'm just stirring. I'm kicking over a few pots, kicking over some idols of unbelief, kicking over some strongholds of sub-Christian understanding. I know some of you have decided, you maybe some of you for years, but you take the bread and the body, the wine every day. You take communion every day. And, Janet and I have come into a season of this for the last while now, where the first thing we do is we have communion together. We pray together for our family, speak into certain situations, pray for the church, pray for maybe a few situations that particularly come onto our minds. But in particular, we're praying for some family situations and some various things, and we've seen wonderful shift taking place. Beautiful shift taking place. When you come to the table of the Lord and you come into eating this in faith and drinking this in faith, it connects you and your understanding again to the covenant promises and to kingdom glory and kingdom power. We don't do this just as a ceremony. We do this because it's the reminder of the connection. It's the reminder of the work of the cross and the resurrection. It's a reminder of the power of the blood. It's a reminder that Jesus is the bread of heaven. Bread is another name for everything we need for life and well-being. The heavenly life and well-being that affects every part of our being. And as we eat the bread and drink the cup, Jesus went as far as saying this: if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I will raise you up on the last day. And of course, people misunderstand that, stood that all over the place. But he was saying, if you eat who I am, you recognize that I'm the bread of heaven and you take me into yourself, and we do that but in reminder ways of through the bread. And if you drink my blood, we do that in terms of the cup of the new covenant and his blood, then I shall raise you up on the last day. It connects us to the covenant promises and it connects us to heaven. So I'll have a cup too if there's some going, and some bread too. We'll pray and I'll release you all. Hey, can we share that? Thank you. Jesus, you healed all. The only place where there was any limitation was when you were in your own hometown where you grew up and people disrespected you and dishonored you for who you were. They did not see you for who you were. And it says you were only able to heal a few sick folk, but you still healed those sick folk. And no doubt those sick people were very appreciative. But the only place where you were limited was in the place of unbelief and the place of disrespect and the place of familiarity. Today, Lord, we esteem you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, God with us. We esteem and receive you as the Son of the living God, the eternal Son, the eternal Word of God made flesh. Lord, today we esteem you. We honor you as the great High Priest. So, Lord, as we take this piece of bread, without leaven, but pierced and striped, it reminds us of Isaiah 53. It reminds us of what you went through to get to the place where you could redeem us by the power of your blood. Your word declares, and you declared, that you are the bread of heaven. And Lord, that healing is and deliverance is the children's bread. And we're to ask for our daily bread. And so today, Lord, we thank you that as we eat this piece of bread, this piece of cracker, this what reminds us and signifies and speaks of your body that was torn for us, that released your blood. Lord, we eat of this, and we eat of you, and we eat of all that you are. Lord, we thank you that as we eat of you, healing is released in our bodies. Healing is released in our hearts and in our minds. We thank you, Lord. We eat of you today. In Jesus' name. And Lord, as we lift up this cup, this third cup of the Passover, cup of redemption, is also the cup of betrothal, where Jesus, the bridegroom, offers the bride the cup of the new covenant, but it's in your blood. And Lord, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But Lord, you've shed your blood. And we receive the power of your blood. And our sin and the power of sin over our lives is dealt with. We're forgiven. We're righteous. We're holy unto you. We're sanctified, set apart for your purposes. So today, Lord, as we drink this cup, we drink it in thanksgiving and in faith. Lord, we thank you that as this liquid flows into our bodies, Lord, I thank you that the power of your blood will flow into our lives and reverse that which needs to be reversed and unleash that which needs to be unleashed by the Spirit of God. We drink it together in Jesus' name. Could we link hands? I know you've probably got a cup in your hand still, but put it on the seat behind you if it's empty. Not on its side, but on its bottom. And link hands across the place. Lord, I thank you that your body, this part of your body, the body of Christ, the body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus. Ones who have died with you, ones who have been crucified with you, ones who have been co-buried with you, ones who have been co-resurrected with you, ones who are co-seated with you, ones who are co-heirs with you, ones who are one spirit with you, ones who are one body with you, ones who have the same anointing. Father, as we link hands today, we recognize those around us as part of your body and part of your family. And so right now, I release and I impart that anointing, that faith, that anointing that's on my life. right now, I release. Just pray after me. Father, right now, I release that power, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of your Spirit, that precious anointing. I release it to the one on my left, the one on my right. Let your anointing flow through their body, healing, delivering, setting free according to what you've done on the cross and in the resurrection. I release your power. I release your anointing now in Jesus' name. Sickness be gone. Disease be gone. Injury be gone. Trauma be gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.